it's so nice to see all of your faces. How are you? Great, great. The late Charles Spurgeon once said, "Without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are as ships without wind. We are useless." Friends, we are not useless here at Good Shepherd. We are a church that is used by the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, we have begun a series on my favorite person to speak about in the Trinity, and that is the Holy Spirit. Last week, if you remember, Pastor PJ preached on the promise of the Spirit. And this week, I'm going to be preaching on being led by the Spirit. And all of this is, you know, coming together as we approach Pentecost. Perfect timing, wouldn't you say? Well, if you remember from last week, Pastor PJ emphasized the fact that believers, as believers, God has sent his Spirit and placed it in you, right? He's sealed you with the Holy Spirit. It is Christ's promise. Well, that is good news, of course. And you have, so what this means is that you, if you are in Christ, if you believe who Christ says he is, right, our Lord and Savior, who died on the cross and rose again, if you believe that and you've accepted that and invited him into your life, you have the indwelling Spirit of the God, of our God Almighty, right in you, working in you and through you. But then the next question remains is, how do I hear from him then? How do I hear his voice if I can't see him or I can't touch him? A few years ago, I was able to speak at a women's conference in Nashville. And as we prepared, all of us speakers, we were in the green room and back. And as we were preparing to preach or teach, the crew kind of ushered in and then they pulled us aside and they fitted us with what they call an ear. And this was my first time speaking in front of a really large audience, so I was very nervous. But the producer wanted to assure me that I would be okay because she put the ear in my ear, right? And while I was speaking, she could reassure me that everything was going to be okay. She could direct me and have me go this way or that way, or you're not standing under the lights right, or what have you. And so I had that ear in my ear with the producer telling me what to do and what not to do. Well, you know, this is a little bit like the Holy Spirit, right? He's in you, directing you. So the same Spirit that is in me, the same Spirit that's in our great pastors, the same Spirit is inside of you too. I heard one teacher say, "God doesn't play favorites, y'all. Not with his people, because you are his favorite. You are his favorite. Why? Because you're one of his sheep." There's no better scripture, in my opinion, that talks about hearing the voice of God in a personal way than our text that I want to share with you today. And it comes from John chapter 10. And it says in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. The beauty of our relationship with Christ is that he desires to speak with us, his sheep. So you know what? Every morning when we get out of bed, when we plant our feet on the floor, we should be expecting to hear from him. So to be led by the Spirit, you must expect it. You must expect to hear from the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." In Psalm 27, it says, "Wait and hope for the and expect the Lord. Be brave and of good courage, and let your heart be stout and enduring." Yes, expect the Lord. A.W. Tozer writes, "The one who doesn't expect that God will speak will discount it every single time he does speak. They'll say that it's just their opinion, or it was just a coincidence, or maybe even their own idea. Every single time that God speaks, unless you have anticipation for it, unless you have an eagerness for it, unless you are just expecting it, every single time he shows up in your life, you will discount it if you're not expecting it. You'll ignore it or something else other than the voice of God. So our text today teaches us that the result of our personal relationship with Jesus is to know and expect that we can and will be able to hear the voice of God. So it starts with my sheep. Are you one of his sheep? Is it personal for you? It starts there. Several years ago, I read a book by Priscilla Shire titled "The Discerning the Voice of God," and it really changed my life because it taught what it means to hear God's voice. She begins her book by pointing to Habakkuk. Now, Habakkuk is one of those little books in the Bible, if you don't know, that we can gloss over. And first of all, his name's kind of hard to say, and it seems weird, and so okay, we'll just jump somewhere else, right? But she begins her book with the book of Habakkuk. And Habakkuk, he was a man in despair. He was desperate to hear from God. And in his desperation, he cried out to God, saying, "How long, O Lord, will I call for help, and will you not hear? I cry out to you, yet you do not save. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness?" How long? Why? These are questions that we ask, right? How long? How many times have we asked that? Maybe there are a few of you who are even asking that right now. How long, Lord? And why? Well, as you read on in the book of Habakkuk, we see that God does answer the prophet. And he says, this is what he says, I love this. He says, "Look among the nations, observe, be astonished, wonder, because I am doing something in your days." So in essence, what God was saying is, I am speaking. I am doing something. You're just looking through the wrong lenses. So you don't hear and you can't see. So while the prophet was waiting for God to answer, God was already answering. And God is already answering you too. God is always speaking and moving, even when he seems silent. To be led by God, we must learn to discern his voice. And that means we must first come to him expectingly, waiting for him to answer. So once Habakkuk's confidence was restored, he still had questions, right? We all still have questions. In chapter 2, he says, "I will stand at my watch station, myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint." Habakkuk's posture was militant, it says, right? It was militant. He had this strong stance. He expected God to answer him, and he was determined to wait until he did. I have a friend who says, when you're waiting on God and you're waiting for his voice, she says, wait 3 days. If he doesn't answer, wait 3 more. Wait and expect. You know, there is a direct correlation between your level of anticipation to hear from God and your willingness to wait for God to speak. When we stand firm, waiting with expectation, God shows up in miraculous ways. When you're praying about something, when you're going to church and you are being with God's people and you're worshiping the Lord, when you're in tune with God, circumstances will happen and you'll just be like, whoa, where did that come from, right? People will come out of the blue, his people, and tell you things that you'll be like, how did they know that, right? And God's word speaks to us. We'll be reading it, and it's like his words will jump off the page when we've been in prayer and seeking God's voice. That's how you begin to discern it. You know, we will always wait for things that are important to us, right? What do? We'll wait by the phone, right? We'll wait by the phone for a job opportunity or maybe to get a report from our doctors. Or we'll wait in line at the grocery store. Costco, by the way, seems to have the longest lines, right? We'll wait in line at Costco forever, right? We even wait in line for hours for a roller coaster ride, for Pete's sakes. We wait weeks and even months with excitement, right? With the anticipation of maybe a wedding or the arrival of a baby, right? We wait. The value that we place on something is in direct proportion to the amount of time that we are willing to wait for it. When I was at Moody, I had the pleasure of helping one of my professors write her book. I did a lot of the research for her, the behind-the-scenes stuff. And one woman that she was writing on was Miss Sarah Dunn Clark. And Mrs. Sarah Dunn Clark. And Sarah Dunn Clark was the woman who started, some of you may be familiar with the Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago. It is a huge mission that serves homeless people. And back in the day, she was the woman who started this mission. And she was an amazing lady. She was like, you know, I think about this tall, but she had a lot of fire in her. And she believed and loved the Lord and sought his voice every day and wanted to be led by him all the time. And one of my favorite stories that I dug up about her was that in the midst of, you know, starting this mission and doing all of this, she felt an oppression from the enemy. Like every time she turned around, she was being blocked by something, right? And she was beginning to get weary, and they were getting down to their last pennies, like literally their last pennies. They weren't going to be able to pay rent. They weren't going to be able to heat the place. It was just getting really bad. And so she had been crying out to God and praying to God and asking God and expecting him to show up, and she was waiting on him. And she came home one night very defeated and went to bed. And when she woke up in the morning, this is a true story, when she woke up in the morning, she walked outside, and her yard was covered in mushrooms. Delicate, edible mushrooms. That she went out, she and her husband, and they gathered the mushrooms and they carried them to the Drake Hotel in Chicago. And they were able to sell those mushrooms. I'm not kidding. I know you're all looking at me like, this is crazy. She sold the mushrooms, and there was enough money left for her to continue her work for the Lord. Isn't that incredible? She was praying about it. She was expecting it. She was waiting on it. And in circumstances, God said, here, I'm going to grow you some mushrooms overnight. There you go. Incredible. I love that. So as you wait expectantly for your situation to change, your faith, it should be growing, right? God is faithful in the midst of your crisis. And as you wait, your faith will grow. And when he shows up, holy moly, your faith is going to grow even more. So the first thing we must do to hear God's voice in order to be led by the Spirit is to wait expectingly. Second thing is, we're to listen. Listen. How many of you heard that saying, right? God gave us two ears and one mouth, right? We're to listen. Another story in the Bible that I really love comes from Matthew 17. And in it, we have the three close-knit disciples of Jesus. We have Peter, John, and James, right? And they're with Jesus, and they have this encounter with Jesus where he's transfigured right before them. And what does he do? He shows them a bit of his glory. And they all saw it. And you know what? And in that holy moment of being in the presence of God, God burst through the heavens and he spoke to them. And he says to the disciples, this is my beloved son who I am well pleased. Listen to him. listen. He didn't say, talk to him. He didn't even say, inquire him. Don't argue with me. He didn't say any of those things. He didn't even say, serve him. What he first said was, listen to him. Listening to God takes discipline. It's a spiritual discipline. But to be led by the Spirit, we must discipline ourselves to be still long enough to not only hear, but to listen. Are you listening?
That's what the problem is.
Okay.
I mean, we never, ever, ever just stop and listen.
Well, no, you can't just stop. I mean, you've got to keep on living, right? And
well,
that's the whole point of life,
yeah,
is to live.
You have to live. But I'm just saying, like, how do we expect to hear the Lord speaking unless we actually give him time to speak, right?
Give him time.
Yes.
Well, let me think. I don't have any time. I might be able to pencil him in next week, Thursday or something.
No. Let's just try right now, okay?
Huh?
Let's just stop what we're doing and let's just listen and wait for him to speak. Okay.
Okay. Okay, that was great. I gotta go do laundry.
No. You can't just do it in 2 seconds, okay?
Well, that was time,
no,
right?
No. Okay, like, look, just sit down, okay? And
all
we
right.
are just gonna stop and give time to God and let him speak, okay? Okay.
Okay.
What are you doing?
Waiting for God to speak.
No, you're playing on your phone.
No, I'm multitasking. It's fine.
Oh, okay. Can I see that?
What?
Oh, that's great. Okay,
hey.
So what we're doing here is we're stopping what we're doing and we're listening for the Lord.
That's what
okay?
I've been doing.
Yeah, so well, let's try again. Okay, you can do this.
Okay.
Drew, what is your problem?
What? This is taking way too long and it's not even working.
If you're not going to take this seriously, I'm going to go do it somewhere else.
Take what seriously? Me waiting for God to talk to me? Come on, I told you God doesn't speak anymore.
Is it that God doesn't speak anymore? Or are there just more distractions keeping us from hearing him?
Distractions. Does that seem like anybody's household right there? Distractions. Life's full of them, right? It's full of them. A dear friend of mine has raised her children, and this is what she says to them every morning. She says, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. Busy enough to drown out the sound of God's voice. Priscilla Shire says it like this. She says, friends, this ain't no playground. It's a battlefield. It's a battlefield that we're in. We allow the enemy to win every time we let distractions keep us from listening to God. Okay, so maybe you can relate to this. So we had the video, right? I'm just going to give you a rundown of how this is usually what happens with me. So I'll begin my quiet time every morning, but then I receive a text, and I respond. And Satan cheers. Okay, so then I decide, all right, you know, I'm going to wait till the end of the day. I'll wait till the end of the day to listen to God. But then I find myself too tired to open my ears, and I often fall asleep, and Satan goes, yeah, and he applauds, right? So then I try something else. Okay, I'm like, all right, in the stillness of the morning, well, before I get up, before I climb out of bed and put my feet on the floor, I'll pray then, right? Okay, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wake up, and I'm going to pray then. But then what happens? The alarm goes off on my phone. Which I got to thinking, I'm going to get a different alarm. The alarm goes off on my phone, and when I pick up my phone to turn off my alarm, what happens, right? I will either check my email or, you know, how can you let those annoying red notifications go? I mean, like, seriously, you have to get those off your phone, right? So then you start checking your phone to get rid of the notifications. And Satan laughs. Do you know Satan is thrilled with every new TV option we have, whether it's Netflix or Hulu or whatever is out there, every magazine subscription, every new internet site, every app that's new that comes on our phones, every cell phone upgrade, each improvement, right, plunges us further into the abyss of busyness that makes God's voice sound like a distant echo. Distractions turn our prayers into mindless requests and meaningless babbles. Come to me with your ears wide open and listen, says Isaiah. And Jesus backs it up by saying, be sure to pay attention to what you hear. The more you do this, the more you will understand, and even more besides. To those who are open to my teaching, and more understanding will be given. Take time to listen to God and discipline yourself to discern his voice through prayer and meditation and the Bible and worship. When he speaks, you'll know, because it's not going to be out of step with his word. Pastor Greg is our perfect example right here in our midst at Good Shepherd, right? God had planted in his heart years before to work with people, right, to minister people on the other side of the world. And here, when that call came, what, I don't know how many years later, he knew when God was speaking because he'd been praying about it. It wasn't a coincidence, it was a God-cidence. There's no such thing as a coincidence when you're praying and seeking God. Many of us ask for signs, but you know what? Signs aren't what we need. That's what they had in the Old Testament, right? They had speaking donkeys, and God spoke to them through a cloud and led them by fire. Today, you've got the Spirit in you. We don't need signs. What we need is to stop long enough, wait. We need to listen and expect God to speak. To be led by the Spirit, we must deliberately turn our attention toward God. Consider how the Spirit is working in our conscience and causing Scripture to resonate in our hearts. So one, we expect. Two, we listen. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And number three is we're to respond. They follow me. They follow me. There's only one appropriate response when you hear the voice of God. Have you heard the saying, delayed obedience is actually disobedience? There's really no neutral ground when it comes to hearing God's voice. You're either going to go and move forward, or you're not. Believe me, I'm speaking to myself here. God doesn't speak to be heard. He speaks to be obeyed. So it's kind of like this. Do we have any air traffic controllers in this room? No, no one? Okay, well, I thought for sure we would in this room. It's kind of like an air traffic controller, okay? Think about it. So when you're at an airport, and I was just flying last week, and I'm going to be flying this week too. When a plane takes off, right, what happens? The pilot, it sits in the cockpit, but he has a very limited view of what he can see, right? He can't trust solely on what his eyes can see. So the pilot is in constant contact with the control tower, right? Because the control tower has the capacity to see way beyond the pilot's limited scope and limited perspective. So the pilot stays in constant contact with the control tower so he'll avoid disaster, right? We all know this. It's kind of like God. When God speaks to you, it's because he's your control tower, right? He sees stuff in your narrow viewpoint and my narrow viewpoint that we cannot see. And when you respond in obedience, even when it doesn't make sense at the time, you have no idea the disasters you have circumvented because you said yes to God. In Jesus' day, when the shepherd called his sheep, the sheep didn't argue with the shepherd. They didn't negotiate with the shepherd. They didn't ignore the shepherd. They just went where the shepherd led them. Why? Well, because they believed that he was a good shepherd. in John 10, it says, He, Christ, is your good shepherd. And then in the book of Hebrews, it takes it a step further and he says, He's not just a good shepherd, He's a great shepherd. If you can't trust any other voice in your life, trust the voice of God. Whether the decisions you need to make are monumental or merely inconsequential, when God speaks, He is looking for a response of obedience. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. So, in conclusion, I am a child of the 80s, right? Grew up in the 80s, and you all remember Michael Jackson, right? Okay, come on, guys. You don't have to act holy. Everybody knows who Michael Jackson is, right? So no matter what you thought of Michael Jackson, right, we all knew in the 80s that nobody could dance or perform better than Michael Jackson, right? He was amazing that way. Well, I had heard this, and then I looked it up, and I watched it, this documentary about Michael Jackson, and it just makes a great illustration for today. So this in this documentary, it was of over the video of the Billie Jean. Do you remember the song Billie Jean? Okay. So this is what the documentary was about, and they were interviewing the director about the video and how they made it and what was going on, and the director said something really interesting. He said that while they were creating it and they were setting it up and all, he said what he did, that every space on the path that we have a video of, or we have a picture of it, but every picture or every square on the path, what would happen is the producer, the directors, they would already have the lights set, right? They said every step that Michael would take, the path would light up. Well, again, we know that Michael was quite a dancer, and here was, this is really cool. What happened then was that the director had to pull the Michael Jackson in and said, hey, Mike, listen, here's the deal. We know that you're a great dancer. I mean, everybody knows that you're a great dancer. And we know that you can dance all over this pathway, right? In fact, we know you can dance all over this studio, right? But you need to know something, Mike. You need to know something. I, the producer said, I have already gone before you and pre-lit certain squares. If you want this video to look the way we want it to look, you're going to have to rein in all that dancing, Michael, and you're going to have to step only where the squares are that I have pre-lit. Huh. Otherwise, guess what? All of your energy, all of your efforts, all of it will be in vain because the path will not light up. Isn't that great? That was a great sermon illustration. So many times in my life, and maybe even in yours, we've spent so much time, so much of our talent, so much of our energy, and what happens, right? We feel frustrated, and we feel overwhelmed because the path that we're on isn't lighting up. Could it be because we haven't taken the time to turn to the director and say, would you please, 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 please show me the path that you've pre-lit? The Bible says that He has already gone before you and prepared good works so you might walk in them. Are you listening? Are you expecting? When we listen to the voice of God, when we expect to hear from God, we can then be led by His Spirit to see the path that He has already pre-lit. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you that you are not a silent God like other religions. We thank you, Lord, that you speak to us because you are a personal God who knows us by name, who knows the amount of hairs on our head, Lord. And Lord, that you didn't just leave us, you didn't just die and leave us abandoned. You said you sent your spirit in us so that we could be led by you. Now, Lord, I ask that as the remainder of this day and week and year goes, that we will seek you, expecting you to show up and listening for your voice. And then in the end, that we are always obedient when you make the call. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.